Good morning. And how are you on this snowy, snowy day? Blessed in spite of the snow. Now today in the gospel, we hear something we hear at every Mass, whether you go to daily Mass and hear it every day, or whether you go to weekly Mass and hear it once a week or once a month or whatever it happens to be. You hear the same thing the priest says, what John the Baptist says. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Huh? And then we, of course, add the priest, blessed are those who call to the supper of the Lamb. And then we talk about how unworthy we are. So that's what we hear and what we hear at Mass all the time. And again, you realize it comes from the reality of the Old Testament. Huh? We've talked about it before. It's Abraham, and he's going to take his son, and God tells his Abraham, yes, take your son, your only one who you love, and offer him to me. And Abraham says, yes, Lord. He takes his son. Again, scripture scholars say he wasn't a little boy. He was probably about 33 years old, appropriate. And he takes his son, and his son carries the wood up, the sacrifice up the hill, and the fire. And as he's walking up, he says, Father, here is the wood and here is the fire, but where is the lamb for sacrifice? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb. And that's why every time we hear John's gospel, it's always teaching us something theological. So he takes what happened in the Old Testament and he says, here is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. So what we're hearing is, and we get the insight, and now we get full insight into what happened with Abraham, because God stops Abraham and says, don't you kill. I know that you would hold nothing from me. But then what's happening in the light of the New Testament is God the Father says, spiritually, if you will, Abraham, do not give up your son to prove your love for me. Abraham, I'll give up my son to prove my love for you. That this is what it costs the Father to love us, to forgive us. That God the Father takes his son, his only one, whom he loves, and he offers him up for our salvation. And that's why the very first way he's talked about in John's gospel or introduced is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. Now all the Israelites would know that immediately. Whoa, really? Is what God is doing for me? Exactly. And so what that makes us, because what do? When we hear this, our sinfulness, and he's come to take it away, and then in the second reading, it's beautiful, right? If you listen to the second reading, and I'm sure everybody did, because if you can't hear it, you can see it. And this one line in there, it just says, to you who have been sanctified in Christ. Sanctified means be made holy, right? Been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy. Now again, this past week, on Wednesday, I went and I did a retreat for the seminarians in St. Vincent's de Trobe. And it was a reflection on celibacy. I had to speak for 4 hours on celibacy. Oh, it was quite exciting. And the reality was, in the midst of it, I asked these seminarians, and there was about 50 of them there, 45, 50, I'm not sure. And as they're there and they're all looking at me, some of them look at me like I'm a nutcase, like some of you do every week. Some of them look at me like, oh, maybe you know something, not much. But I says to them, I says, now, my license plate on my car says, you are good. Basic Catholic teaching. If I was to ask you, are you a good person, what would you say? Yes, of course you would say you're a good person. You wouldn't be at Mass on Sunday. You wouldn't be in seminary if you're not a good person. That's not the question, though. And then I asked them, as I've asked you, are you a holy person? And what did most of them say? No. What's the answer? Yes, we are holy. We have been set apart for God. I have talked about this many times. That God, when we were baptized, set us apart for him. Now, we need to grow in holiness. That's why he says you have been sanctified, meaning you have been set apart for God, and you're called to be holy, meaning that you and I need to grow in holiness. We don't come out of our mother walking. We come out learning how to walk, how to talk, how to kneel, how to fall. We learn all those things. So it is in this holiness. We've already been called to it. Now we need to grow in it. And the purpose is that we have to make sure that, first of all, we deal with our sin, right? But we don't focus on it. To deal with sin is different than focusing on it. To deal with sin means, yes, I've sinned. I'm sorry. I repent. 100% repent. I'm going to get this out of my life. When you go to confession, that's what you're saying, correct? You go to confession and you say, I missed Mass on Sunday and to be forgiven, you mean, I will never miss Mass on Sunday again. What's necessary for forgiveness is repentance. So once you and I have truly repented and just say, Lord, I'm done, then get over yourself and then focus on growing in holiness and not just being a sinner, right? Because again, 99% of the people I know are only focused on how sinful they are. And as we talked about last week, that false humility. God wants you to focus on growing in holiness, because our sinfulness does not bring him glory, does it? No, but our holiness does. So if our purpose in life is to bring glory to the Father, as was the purpose of Jesus, we need to always be focusing on our holiness. And when we sin, get up immediately. Look at Jesus, say, Jesus, this is me without you. Take away my sin and walk in holiness. Do not stay focused. Of course you need to go to confession. Of course all those things. But don't stay there. Immediately repent. And then focus, I need to grow holier so that I may bring glory to God. Because when people look at our life, they should praise God for our life. Not say, oh yeah, they're just another sinner. Our sinfulness does not bring glory to God. Our holiness does. So let us, again, one of the greatest things to find out whether you're doing that or not is when you look at a crucifix here, do you sit there and think, oh, look at what I did to Jesus. I'm no good. I'm no good. Or when you look at that's focusing on your sinfulness, or when you look at the cross, do you think, thank you, Jesus, for paying the penalty for my sin? Good, you agree. So he agrees. So that's a glorious thing. So if he agrees, we got to agree together. We focus on being grateful that he took away my sin. We focus on being holy so that we can bring the Father's name glory. Got it? Get it? Gonna do it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.